You're listening to Radio MD. What's good and good for you? Why, Family Food Kitchen, of course. Here they are, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
How often have you been sidetracked by that miserable migraine headache? Oh my gosh, when I ever get one, I just want to crawl up in a dark corner of silence and actually I just want to throw up. It's just an awful, awful feeling. Well, fortunately, today we have with us Susan Hanna. She's author of The Complete Migraine Health Diet Guide and Cookbook with us, and she's going to help us understand which food allergies and sensitivities are known to be causes and triggers, and they may include some that you don't even know you have. So we are thrilled to have Susan with us to help us relieve us from migraines. Susan, I will admit, I rarely have a migraine, but when I do, I don't forget. It's just an awful place to be. What makes them feel so severe versus other headaches?
A migraine is severe because it affects your brain, and anything that affects your brain is going to affect the rest of your body as well. And the fact that a migraine can be made worse by exposure to light or to sound or to physical movement makes it very difficult for you to continue with your usual daily activities if you have a migraine. And the level of pain can be so intense that people will often go to emergency because they just can't cope.
Well, I haven't gone that far, but man, just that feeling of wanting to throw up is it just obviously it triggers several points in the brain to have it be a problem for light and sound and movement and movement. Maybe that's the throw up feeling, but anyway, they're horrible. So what are the things that really trigger them that we need to stay away from?
Well, the biggest focus that you can have for a migraine is to identify your triggers, because each one of us may have a different trigger, in fact, for a migraine. There are certainly lists of triggers that are put out there, and the most widely known are genetics, different weather patterns, immune response within your body, inflammation, something called a neurovascular reaction, which means a combination of your nerves and your blood system, hormone imbalance, and many, many women who get migraines during that time of the month. And then finally, there's something called a histamine overload, which is also responsible for migraines. So there's many, many causes.
Wow.
And it's a bit of work to figure out which is your trigger.
Who?
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm definitely among that group that one time a month, I just know it. I get that horrible, sometimes just a headache, sometimes as severe as a migraine. But I want to focus on food, since we do talk a lot about food here in our show.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned one of the external triggers can be sensitivity to specific foods. Do these vary between each person, or is there a common list of foods that people should look at first to see if those are their triggers?
There is a common list of foods that tends to set off migraines in particular, and they include things like aged cheeses and red wines and rich sausages and things like vinaigrettes. So anything that you're going out to a restaurant and ordering a meal, you're likely to order one of these foods or have it come as an appetizer on a tray. And any of those could be enough to trigger a migraine. One glass of wine for some people is enough. One beer is enough. So it's important for each person to recognize what their trigger may be. Beyond the typical triggers known, there's also foods that are high in histamines. Those may set off headaches in other people. And it's a little more difficult to tell if you're in that group without keeping a food diary.
Well, I was looking at your book and noticing what are the common triggered foods with histamines. I mean, I was really, my eyes sort of gravitated toward the histamine section, that there are foods that are high in histamine or are somehow, I'm not totally sure I understand histamine, so maybe you ought to start there, but there are foods like avocados that are ones to stay away from in order to stay away from migraines. Please explain that.
Okay, it's not necessary to stay away from them, but rather to understand how the histamines in that food may impact your headache or your risk of a headache. A histamine is a molecule that we do produce in our own bodies. It's made in mast cells, which are part of our immune system. And if your immune system is aroused by something that you've been exposed to either externally, such as pollen or even a change in the weather, or something internally, such as stress, mast cells are released close to the blood vessels, and the histamines that are released cause increased warmth. They cause vasodilation, so your blood vessels get bigger, and there can be itchiness and rash and pain at your nerve endings because they're very much affected by histamine. So if you have a certain level of histamine in your body that's produced by your body, normally you also have an enzyme that breaks down the histamine so that your body returns to your normal resting state, which is called homeostasis. But if you have a breakdown somewhere in the enzyme that takes care of histamines, you'll have a buildup of histamines, and you may have the kind of side effects that you get from histamines. This we're just talking about within body histamine. So I relate it to understanding how food can impact this by having a glass on your counter and you start pouring in water. There's already a little bit of water in the glass. That's the histamine that's already in your body. When you add histamines from food and continuing to pour the water, at some point the water is going to go over the top of the glass. And at that point, that shows that your histamine levels have gone beyond your ability to break them down, and you may have a headache or other side effects from it. Does that help to understand how it happens?
That's very interesting. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. It also makes it very obvious why we need that health journal that you mentioned, because what you're saying is for some people, a glass of wine will do. Some people, it's two glasses, so they can have one glass of wine and their tipping point is still safe, but the second glass will really do it. So by keeping that health journal, it'll help maybe avoid it for next time. So is it about learning your own limits?
Yes. It's about paying attention. It's paying attention to what's happening with you, what happens when you eat specific foods, what's happening with your sleep cycle, with your stress cycle, because all of those things can affect whether or not you get a headache. If you're dehydrated, that's the number one cause of headaches, is rather than reach for a pill, reach for a glass of water. So it's number one to keep track of how much you're taking in fluids.
You know, I am so impressed with your book and your description of how to deal with it even today, because it's a relative factor. There's not one size fits all. It's pay attention. I think that was the phrase that really stuck out when you just spoke. Pay attention to how your body's reacting to things. Just like you pay attention when your body reacts to heat or cold, we should be paying attention to how our body reacts to what we put in our body. And you know, there are wine. Speaking of wine, which because most of us love having a glass of red wine, but there are wines that have ingredients that create a headache. Period. Doesn't have to be a migraine because it's just not a great line of wine. You should really pay attention and have less, but enjoy it. But if you're having wine with all these other foods, you're stressed. Let's say there's a thunderstorm going on outside. You need to say, oh, wait a minute, I need to pull back here so I don't have a migraine. What's their final word? We have like 30 seconds left for you to give us a final word on this.
You summed that up very nicely. But what I tend to do is if I'm having people for dinner, I tell them to bring their favorite dish. So if you have a dish that you know doesn't raise your histamines, bring that and enjoy it and maybe taste other things. But in terms of wines, I always have some water as a backup and go for medium wines such as a Beaujolais or a white. The heavier reds are very famous for headaches. So even switching
which
wines
will help. Thank you, Susan, so much. That's very helpful. Let me remind everybody, go to robertrose.ca for the website or where to find her book, The Complete Migraine Health Diet Guide and Cookbook. Stay well.